Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Dominic Costantini. I am with the Investor Relations team at Pembroke, and happy to welcome you to our North American call featuring Jeff George, Chairman and Portfolio Manager. Jeff has been with the firm since 1987. Before we begin, a few comments on the format for this call. First, Jeff will make his comments, and secondly, we'll run through a few questions with Jeff that were provided prior to our call. We've polled some of you, and we'll deal with those questions that seem to come up fairly often. Another point, the line is not open for questions. However, certainly should you have further questions, please reach out to your Pembroke representative. Now, before I turn it over to you, Jeff, I'd like to highlight that Jeff will refer to slides on a presentation. The presentation is available to you on our website at www.pml.ca. As you go to our website, on the first page, you'll see a picture of Jeff. And to the right, please click on the bold link to access the presentation. I'd also like to mention that this call is being recorded and will be available on our website shortly after the call concludes. Over to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Dominic. I think this is a timely moment to be reaching out to you. I was traveling in Toronto this week, talking to clients, and of course, the volatility of the markets is brought a lot of uncertainty, and you know, I think for some people they feel it's echoes of 2008. I think that's always what's on people's mind. Is there something looming that we don't understand? Are we about to go into a bad bear market? And I think the point that I'd like to make starting off is the markets have been, apart from the U.S., which up until about 3 weeks ago was the only market in the developed world that was up on the year. It's been a pretty tough year across stock markets and multiple asset classes. It's not been a very rewarding year generally anywhere. So that leads to fear and, of course, dissatisfaction from our investor base. We get asked, what do we think is happening? It's a combination of several different factors. The first one, if you are a regular consumer of any newspaper or CNN, we're dealing with a pretty unsettled global geopolitical framework. We have bad news in France, bad news in Italy. You've got, Brexit here still looming in the UK. You've got a fairly, hard to understand political structure in the United States, where now it looks like the president who inspired a lot of the optimism in the last 2 years might be under siege. If you look at Canada, and I think some part of my remarks in Canada will speak to the difficult political framework in Canada, we have governments across Canada who look like they're not friendly to the businesses that over time have been very important to Canada's prosperity. And I think that is feeding into how the world views Canada and is partly why the Canadian stock market is on sale right now. So if I look back in my career, though, there's always been uncertainty in the world, and there's some hot spot in the world that everyone's fearful of. And so those are fears that we always have to live with, and Pembroke, as you know, is not a macro-driven firm at all. But we do try to understand, what is happening around us so that we can then use those perceptions to help us make better decisions. So when we get asked why markets are up in arms, I think there's the what I would call end of cycle fears. It's been 10 years since there's been a recession, and 10 years since there's been stock market corrections, but not a real bear market. It doesn't mean that the conditions are setting up now necessarily that there will be a bear market, but to some, the market is overdue. If you've been an investor in the Canadian stock market, it doesn't feel like it was really ever a bull market, because from 2007 to today, the Canadian stock market is largely flat. So it took some skill in active management to outperform that. There's another little red light that has gone off in the last couple of weeks, and this is a technical issue that can often signal economic weakness in the horizon, and it's where short-term rates rise above long-term rates. And so if you've been following market commentary in the last week or so, that is what pre the U.S. market holiday this week on Wednesday was spooking the markets with this so-called inversion of the yield curve. It is a predictor, but not necessarily an accurate predictor of weakness coming in the economy. And I think there's also, back to the end of cycle fears, it has been a long time since there was a big correction in the stock market, and so people start to fear that the market itself is long in the tooth. I think if we look at the action of the last year in the rest of the world, that's probably only true for the United States now. Emerging markets are probably technically in a bear market. Canada's not in a bear market, but in many ways it feels like it, because there are sectors, particularly the oil and gas industry, that are going through almost a crisis. And then the other thing that's happening, which I think is a healthy thing, is that when you come through a long cycle in the stock market where different habits get reinforced, bad habits emerge. And I think what we're seeing, and I'm going to speak to one of the questions about the marijuana stocks, some of what we're seeing is also just the unwinding of excess in certain sector, where there was too much money chasing a sector, or valuations got too high, or where in some of the more cyclical sectors, the investors were assuming that there wouldn't be another housing cycle, or there wouldn't be an interest rate cycle. And one of the drivers of the uncertainty in the economy in the last 6 months, in the stock market, I'm sorry, is that interest rates have started to normalize, and they really needed to, because the free money post-financial crisis did cause distortions in some asset classes. And then when you pile that with the tax cuts that Donald Trump did in the 2017 timeframe, the U.S. economy is very strong. The Canadian economy is fine, not as strong. But the U.S. economy is very strong, and then some later cycle strains are showing up in the system. Inflation, wage pressure, it's very hard to find labor in the United States, particularly in some of these cyclical industries like the housing industry, where the decline in capacity in the industry post-financial crisis has meant a lot of people left the industry. The demand is there, but the labor is hard to find. And then the other element that's a byproduct of inflation is that a lot of our companies and a lot of industries are experiencing raw material pressure. And so that is causing, again, a bit of fear in the system. So when we look at the stock market impact of what's going on, up until the end of August, the U.S. stock market was very strong. And then what has happened in the intervening time is you've had a significant multiple compression, because the earnings in the markets in both Canada and the U.S. are still very strong. But what has happened basically is the price-earnings multiples have compressed, because now investors are fearful about what the next couple of years of earnings growth might look like. So for us as professional investors, and for you, the $64,000 question, is this just a normal cyclical shakeout in the stock market, which then sets the base, which the earnings growth that's still there will drag the stocks up in the next 2 years, or is there a storm brewing? And one of the fears is that in the United States, the tax cuts, they poured fuel on what was already a pretty good economic picture, and then has caused the economy to overheat in some places, which then increases the likelihood that over a year or two interest rates have to rise, which will ultimately then cause the recession that then cools things down. Whereas in Canada, we're not, the impact has been different. You have parts of the stock market that are still doing fine, but then you also have anything that's linked to the housing sector, then that would be the big banks in Canada, and then more seriously, anything that's tied to the oil and gas sector in Canada, whether you're a lender to the sector or a supplier or you're actually involved, the fall in the oil price in the last 2 months had a very deleterious impact on the asset values of the share prices in that sector. So what does it mean from an investment standpoint? It means if you look over a multi-year time horizon, the U.S. stock market is about appropriately priced for the current level of interest rates and where we are economically. The earnings for the S&P are expected to grow quite nicely next year. They've grown and they have grown so far this year, and for the fourth quarter are expected to still grow very strongly. So the U.S. market, which has come off of oil, is now reasonably priced. But when you look at the Canadian market, the negative money flows out of Canada, the fact that foreign investors who used to look to Canada for our resource industry are look at Canada now in a different way, so that really the marginal buyer is not there in Canada. And so what has happened is the Canadian stock market has fallen to a multi-year low level in terms of relative valuation to the U.S. and also absolute valuation relative to valuation in Canada over the last 10 years. So the difficult part for the investor is this is probably a good cyclical time to be buying Canada, but it doesn't feel very good because of the headlines and what we're seeing. So we get asked by our clients, what are we doing in this environment? So the one thing that we've done is we've taken any of the smaller holdings in the portfolio where we felt that they weren't fundamentally performing as well as we had hoped they would, and we take the view that all capital is scarce. So we're taking that capital, and then we're selling those stocks, and we're rolling them into the higher conviction, more successful companies, which are also on sale in this environment. And so we've been doing that in both Canada and the U.S. And then thinking about how we look at risk and then how we're trying to protect value for you in the funds is that if we're heading into a more uncertain economic environment and if the cost of money looks like it's likely to go up and not down for many reasons, then we've been also very vigilant on the balance sheets of our companies, our holdings in both markets, because for you, what that leads to is sustainability of the business. Because if you have a decent business that's well-financed, if you go into a slower economic time, the net result is companies have to grow as fast, and that may lead into short-term some valuation compression, but it doesn't lead to any capital impairment. Whereas if you have a portfolio full of highly leveraged companies, then what you end up with is stress when rates rise and or the economy turns down. So that's one very concrete move that we've made in the last year to insulate the portfolios from any possibility of rising rates or an economic slowdown. I think the other point that I want to make for you, and then Dominic can ask me a few questions, is one of the reasons why you have exposure to our asset class is that the supposition is that the underlying portfolio, the holdings, are growing faster than the mature blue chip stocks. And so if you leaf through those slides, if you find there should be one where you see the average growth rate of our dividend fund, and also which would be the GPC balance fund, the Canadian fund, and the U.S. fund, on average, the holdings are growing faster than the market indices that they're compared against. So the Canadian fund grows faster than the TSX. The American fund grows quite a bit faster than the Russell 2000. And then you'll also see in those slides that the portfolios are reasonably valued. They are growing faster than the market, quite a bit faster, in fact. So the valuations are slightly higher. But more importantly, as I just talked about balance sheet and risk, that the leverage in our portfolios is significantly less than the stock market. And so one of the fear factors that's out there as it relates to what investors are worried about is that over the past few years, abetted by cheap money, some of the public companies have gone out and bought their shares back or paid the large dividends, or they borrowed money for projects. And so there is some fear that there's a little more corporate leverage in the system. What you can sleep well knowing is that the financial leverage in our holdings is distinctly less than the indices. And if we use the U.S. portfolio as an example, on average, our top 20 holdings are in net cash in the U.S. They have no debt. and that compares to the Russell 2000 that had significantly more debt, as much as 2 times debt to EBITDA. So why we sleep well is that we visited with all the holdings, the earnings have come in, and the most recent reports were excellent for the third quarter. The companies don't have a lot of debt, and the prospects for 2019, while they might be a bit uncertain because it's very difficult to project how the economy might turn out, most of our companies are secular growers. They're not that exposed to housing starts or auto starts, or because they don't have big balance sheets, they're not as interest rate rate sensitive if the cost of money rises. So the way that you should think about it is that if we go through a period of extended uncertainty, our companies are growing or their way to prosperity, and they're getting cheaper every day. And then when the sentiment turns, those companies should do very well coming out of the out of any sort of doldrums in the stock market. And when I focus in on the Canadian fund in particular, the valuations that are emerging in the top 20 stocks in the Canadian fund, I've been at this is my 36th year working in Canadian small cap, and I'm starting to see outstanding values in Canada, not just relative values, these are absolute values. And generally what happens is in the subsequent 2 or 3 years, the stock market takes care of that, and that gap gets closed. So that's really it for my official remarks. And then Dominic had some questions, and then we were going to talk briefly at the end about what we think you should do as clients.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. You hinted at this in your remarks, cannabis. Do we have any cannabis stocks in the portfolio? What's your outlook on that industry? Are we looking at stocks?
So that's a fun subject for me because I remember being asked about it at a lunch in the summer. And I think I was a bit harsh on the sector at that time, and the client who asked the question, he actually asked the question because I was a bit sharp. But what I said at the time was, well, it is a very interesting long-term business opportunity. The business model was very uncertain as Canada was just legalizing marijuana, but the stocks had discounted a very, very rosy future before anyone even knew what the future would look like. And so what happened in the last 6 weeks since legalization is there have been supply problems, there's obviously negativity out there because these are more speculative stocks, but there's significant capital destruction happening. And really what's happening is it resembles what happens when there's any investment fad, is the market runs up on hope and imagery, and then as the real fundamentals hit, a lot of the companies have been reporting the results recently, then investors start to look at the hard fundamentals, and they start comparing it to some of their other companies that are real, have value support and pay or dividends and have earnings. And so I think there's a recalibration going on right now. And so we were very cautious and told our clients to be careful if they were investing in it. And so now what will happen is you're going to see the wheat separated from the chaff. You'll see who the good operators are because they will take advantage of this this downturn. It will lead to more consolidation activity for sure. And we continue to research the area but don't see value at the moment. So that would be my take on marijuana.
Good. Thank you. As it pertains to ETF, obviously Pembroke is active manager and adds value over time. Clients were asking what our take was as it pertains to how is it influencing the markets and how do you react?
So our position on ETFs is that if factually the average manager does not outperform the stock market, but there are a few managers out there who are skillful enough to outperform, on balance, the idea that you're going to find those good managers, that's partly where there is some logic to the argument of indexing, is that you have to be lucky enough to find those managers. The investment challenge for us with ETFs is that money is flowing into a restricted group name of stocks, i.e. the companies that are in the index, and there is no credence no value placed on fundamentals and valuation. So it means there's no price discovery, which for us is the essence of investing. Price discovery, doing your research, and using fundamentals to guide the investment decision. So I liken ETFs in some ways to a club, where the more members to try to go join the club, the price of the membership of the club goes up, and then it incites more people to want to join the club before it's too late. So then what happens is there's a whole other group of companies that get left behind because they're out in the index. And I would say to some degree that has quite an impact on what we do, because the dollar flows in the small cap area are certainly in Canada have been much less in the last year or two than in previous years. And then, of course, negativity in the oil and gas industry, even this unwinding of the cannabis trade, that will push people into even more of a risk-averse stance, I would say. But when you think about it in the long term, the indexing becomes self-defeating. And so we get kind of excited when people start to wax eloquently about indexing, because it means that on a longer term basis it's even creating more possibility for the discerning active manager. But I'm not saying that it's not a legitimate business idea, and part of it has been basically fostered on the back of the fact that our industry hasn't done that great a job. Let's be honest.
Mostly as it pertains to
big cap
or holding. Maybe a final question on energy.
Okay.
So you hinted on some of our government policies and
So we have been long-term participants in the Canadian oil and gas industry, and certainly for decades it was a very profitable part of our investment strategy. And then based on changes in the industry and structural issues around transportation, it's been more difficult, and in the last 2 years we have consciously reduced our exposure to the sector. But it is a sector where we still see great entrepreneurship and great long-term possibilities. It's just that at the moment, the pall that's been cast over the sector by what is essentially bad politics, inability to get pipelines built, environmentalism, the whole sort of green movement. It's throwing the sector at the moment as prices decline on the global markets into disarray. And it's creating incredible pain for these producers, because if they had adequate transportation, the economics of Canadian oil would be completely different. And so our plan is to maintain exposure to the industry both directly and indirectly, which would be through service companies and companies that are economically exposed to the industry. And then we're in the process of revisiting all of our production companies to make sure that they can finance their growth plans in the light of the current operating environment. Because, as we said before, the key to prosperity, cycle in, cycle out, is making sure you know where your next check's going to come from and that you can finance your growth. Well, what typically happens in times like this is that the system closes to these industries, and then money becomes much harder to come by. So it's really a market where the most efficient operators, the best guys, survive. But what it really means, though, from an investor standpoint, is that if you position yourselves in the well-capitalized people who are clearly more skillful, sounds just like the money management business, then inevitably when some of these issues in Canada get solved through change of government and people waking up to the impact, then the sector becomes poised to do very well. And so to say that you're going to have zero exposure probably would be a mistake.
Good. Thank you. I think that concludes our call. Did you want to address what you think our clients...
Well, because I'm both, in the position of, being a portfolio manager, but also being a client of other people, and I look after, my whole sort of family's finances. And I think that in an environment like this, you want to for sure re-examine your risk appetite, make sure that your asset allocation is as you hoped it would be or as you thought it should be, and that we weren't getting carried away just because you thought stock markets were going up. And so a good illustration of that is the spread that's open between our U.S. performance and our Canadian performance. The Canadian stock market is on sale relative to the U.S. stock market. So that would be one thing, is to look at asset allocation. The second thing is, if you are in the fortunate position of having created cash, or you've come into cash because you sold a business or whatever, sold an asset, whatever reason it might be, then our advice to you would be to dollar cost average into the markets, not to do it all at once, because this is definitely an uncertain time. And then I think the third thing is, as you're seeing from the marijuana stocks, is if in some parts of your investing sort of strategy, you've been speculating and you know, trying things that border on fatty or where they're completely dependent on the stock market, you probably want to de-emphasize that, because if the stock markets go away, some of these businesses will get unmasked as not being very sound. But to make sort of very radical changes to asset allocation, I think for now this feels like garden variety to me. After 36 years, I've seen many ups and downs. People probably forget that in 1998, in the heart of the Asian currency crisis, and then where long-term capital management melted down, the Canadian stock market went down 20% in November, 2-0. And so those just become distant memories. And when you look on the long-term chart, it is just a little blip, in fact. So I think that it's to be level-headed, not to be too emotional about the money, but then make sure that you're positioned in a structure that you can feel emotionally you can withstand, you know, if there's a tougher time in the next year or so. And then I think the other point that we're making to clients is that I think globally investors have to adjust expectations a little bit. And so if you look at dividend yield, let's say our dividend fund yields 3-4%, and then the average earnings growth in the portfolio is between 6-9. So if you say to yourself that an acceptable return threshold is somewhere between 7-11, you know, based on how valuations move around, I think that's going to be pretty good over 5 years. You know, capturing the yield plus 5% earnings growth. Our portfolio holdings are going faster than that now. But I think we need to prepare ourselves for a world where financial assets probably won't be quite as loved, and that growth will be there, but it will be more moderate.
Good. So certainly, if you want to discuss asset allocation, rebalancing, investing some idle cash you might have, please reach out to your representative. This contains your questions. Yes, certainly. Just suggest that should you have any questions. Email is also fine. So this is our call. On behalf of Pembroke team, we thank you for your time and hope that this was beneficial. Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.